Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the fourth GNSO-EPDP Phase 2 team meeting taking place on the 30th of May, 2019 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone bridge, could you please identify yourself now? Hearing no one, we have list of apologies. Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't know if the bridge got no my... One. This is Georgios. I don't know if I have an audio bridge via the phone or not.
Thank you, Georgios. We see you connected and your audio is quite well. Thank you for testing. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
You're welcome. We have listed apologies from Brian King of IPC and Volker Kreman of RRSG. They have formally assigned Jennifer Gore and Sarah Wild as their alternate for this call and any remaining days of absence. Alternates not replacing a member are required to rename their line by adding three Z's at the beginning of their name, and at the end, add alternate and your affiliation, which means you are automatically pushed to the end of the queue. To rename in Zoom, hover over your name and click Rename. Alternates are not allowed to engage in the chat apart from private chat or use any other Zoom room functions, such as raising hand, agreeing, or disagreeing. As a reminder, the alternate assignment form must be formalized by the way of the Google assignment form. The link is available in the meeting invite email. Statements of interest must be kept up to date. If anyone has any updates to share, please raise your hand or speak up now. Seeing or hearing no one, if you need assistance updating your statements of interest, please email the GNSO Secretariat. All documentation and information can be found on the EPDP Wiki space. Please remember to state your name before speaking. Recordings will be circulated on the mailing list and posted on the public Wiki space shortly after the end of the call. Thank you, and with this, I'll turn it back over to Yanis Karklin. Please begin.
So thank you very much. Good morning, good day, good evening, everyone. Let us start our fourth call. We have a suggested agenda with the 10 points. And the question is, can we follow that agenda? I see no hands up, no objections, so we will do so. Thank you very much. Let us turn to agenda item 3, and that is housekeeping issues. So it seems to me that we are heading towards more lengthy meetings. And as I suggested from the very beginning, that we would try to keep our meetings 90 minutes. I now would like to suggest that we strive to conclude our work in 90 minutes, but please, for the planning purposes, keep 120 minutes in your calendars. So that would be a suggestion from my side, and I want to see whether there are any objections to this extension of the calls, with understanding that we would strive to conclude in 90 minutes. So I see none. It is so decided. Let us then move to next agenda item 4, expected next steps in relation to board action on phase 1 recommendations. So after our previous call, I contacted Keith Drezak, the chair of GNSO Council, and he kindly agreed to join our meeting and briefly talk about recent council meeting and outcome of that meeting and how that could influence our work. After that, of course, we will open floor for any comments or questions members would like to raise with Keith. With this, I invite Keith to take the floor. Keith.
Okay. Thank you very much, Yanis. This is Keith Drezak, everyone. Hello. Just a sound check to make sure you can hear me.
Yes, please. We hear you very well.
Very good. Thanks very much, Yanis. Hi, everybody. Keith Drazik here. So thanks very much for the opportunity to join the call and to give a brief update on the council discussions essentially earlier this week on the board's resolutions concerning the EPDP Phase 1 recommendations. And I'm happy to take any questions. So I'll give a brief update and then open it for Q&A. So essentially, I think similar to the experience of the EPDP Phase 1 group, the board's decision and communication of its resolutions regarding the Phase 1 work were communicated just prior to our last meetings. So the council last week did not have the chance to actually have any substantive discussion about the board's decision, but we did have a special meeting of the council on Tuesday this week, where we dedicated 90 minutes to two topics, one of which was this this update, which was the board's decision to approve 27 of the 29 EPDP Phase 1 recommendations and portions of the remaining two. So I think as everybody understands that the board, in not accepting all of the GNSO approved recommendations from the EPDP Phase 1, has triggered a bylaw mandated consultation period. And we are in uncharted territory here. These are the new bylaws, and this is a situation that we have not experienced before. So I and the rest of the council are mindful of the fact that we are setting precedent here in terms of how we engage the board in the discussions and in the consultation process about the fact that it decided or elected to not accept all of the recommendations in full. So that said, the council, as the policy process manager, or the manager of PDP process, is looking certainly at questions of process and procedure. But we also recognize very clearly that the substance of the recommendations came from you and came from the EPDP team, and that if there are any questions, comments, or concerns related to the substance of the board's decision, that we as council would look to you as the EPDP team to help inform us prior to our engagement with the board in that consultation process. So I guess the way I'd like to sort of position this for, you know, future conversation between us, the council, and you, the EPDP team, over the coming, you know, week, if we're going to accelerate respond to the board's initiation of the consultation process in a timely manner, is to ask you to focus on any questions, comments, or concerns that the EPDP team would like to raise, or would like the council to raise on substance. And then separately, the council will be looking at questions of, you know, what questions do we want to raise with the board, you know, questions, concerns, or comments with the board on process or procedure. And my goal here is to ensure that we as the community, for lack of a better word, we as the community, EPDP team on substance and council on process, are synced up prior to the initiation of any formal sort of conversation, dialogue, or the consultation process with the board. I want to make sure that we are aligned to the extent possible before going into the conversations with the board directly. So with that, let me pause and see if there are any questions. Yanis, I'm happy to run the queue. If you'd like to follow up with any comments, I'm happy to defer to you at this point, but just let me know how you'd like to proceed.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Keith. Now question is open. Please raise your hands, those who want to ask questions. Let me just start with one from my side. So if I understand correctly, you expect from us questions in relation to board's decision by next week. We will not be able to produce anything prior Thursday next week.
Okay. Thank you, Yanis. I'll just respond quickly. And I think, you know, we put together a draft timeline that we would be happy to share with you following this call and after the Q&A, that would, you know, hope that you might be able to provide us at least something preliminary by Friday of next week, so after your next meeting. Okay. But obviously, we're sensitive to the fact that you also have a tremendous amount of work ongoing, so we would like to have that conversation with you.
Okay, thank you. So I have three requests that I see is Hadia, Margie, and James in that order. Hadia, please go ahead.
Hadia Almiyai for the record. Thank you, Yanis, and thank you, Drazik. So my question is, the questions to the board, they definitely are going to be related to the adoption of the recommendations or the non-adoption of recommendations and the comments provided as well. But with regard to, for example, to one of the recommendations that was not adopted, which is recommendation one, purpose two, it was not entirely adopted and requires further refinement. So who will do this refinement? And would that be an appropriate question to the board, or is this something that we need, that the council to decide. Thank you.
So thank you, Hadia. Maybe I will take three questions and then Keith, I will turn to you. Margie, please.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yes. Actually, my question was similar to Hadia's. Keith, thank you for the information. Are you looking for us to provide what we think the updated recommendation should be, for example, in purpose two, in light of what the board said, or are you simply asking for questions? It just helps us frame what our work would be over the next few weeks.
Okay, thank you. Margie, James?
James speaking. Do we want to give Keith an opportunity to answer before we proceed?
If you wish so. Keith, please.
I'll pause, Yanis. I'll pause and allow Keith to respond to Margie's question.
Okay. Keith, please.
Sure. Thanks, Yanis. And thanks, Hadia, Margie, and James. Let me go in reverse order of the question so far. Margie, I think what the council is looking for is to find out whether the EPDP team identifies any substantive issues or concerns or questions related to the board's action on the two portions or the portions of the two recommendations that were not accepted. In other words, we're going to be entering a consultation process. And we, the council, need the benefit of your input on substantive matters, and that could be comments, questions, or concerns. That's sort of how we framed it in the discussions within council as to coming up with sort of a template or a framework for the discussion. And so I don't know that at this time we're looking for you to decide how you will handle that. But if there are any clarifying questions or if you see concerns or have concerns about how the non-acceptance of those recommendations or those portions of the recommendations might impact your ability to conduct business in phase two. I hope that's clear. And then Hadia's question, I think, was, a question to the board or maybe similar is, are we looking for a refinement of the phase one, of recommendation one, purpose two? I'll just say, I think, we as council are looking, for any substantive concerns, questions, or comments that you may have that you would like to feed into the council's deliberations and the council's preparation work before we start having conversations with the board on those issues. I hope that answers your question. And Yanis, I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Keith. Next in line is James, followed by Amr. And I see Hadia's hand is up after Amr then. James, please.
Thank you, Yanis. Thanks, Keith, for setting this up and giving us some of the background. So I have a question regarding recommendation 12, and this is a substantive question based on my understanding of the board's rationale for their decision on Rec 12. Recommendation 12, for those who remember our fond times in January in Toronto was the result of quite extensive discussion of what to do with the registrant organization field, and particularly the inconsistent use and application of this field for decades across perhaps millions or even tens of millions of registrant records. And there was a concern that, and I think reading the board rationale, that their concern is that executing any kind of a process that involves deleting data is irrevocable. And I think what a lot of us were landing on in Toronto was that we were fundamentally changing the rules around this field and the significance and the importance of it, and that a number of registrants and registrars had been misusing that field for years. And so it was an attempt to reboot that field. And I don't know if is there an opportunity in this consultation to revisit their rationale for Rec 12 in particular, or any of their decisions, or is this simply a check the box activity and we're going to kick it over to the IRT and figure it out from there?
So maybe okay. Keith, if you want to answer.
Okay, thanks very much, James. So understanding your points certainly about recommendation 12, the fact that this was a recommendation that came from the EPDP. I think the consultation, I think, as I said, is unprecedented. This is something that we're sort of in we're in new territory here, so it's unclear to me exactly how it will play out. I think if there are clarifying questions that the EPDP team would like to ask on some of these substantive issues, that one in particular, then the council would like to take those and bring those to the board during the consultation process. I can't predict at this point how it plays out in terms of, is there an opportunity to revisit something like that? Would the board be in a position to, change its recommendations accordingly following the consultation process? I just don't know at this point. But we would certainly like, as council, going into that process to ensure that, that we've got the totality of your questions, clarifying questions, as we initiate that. And then I expect that there would be ongoing exchange between the council and the EPDP team and the IRT moving forward. So James, I know that wasn't a direct or a concrete answer, but I hope that at least gives a sense of what we're looking for. Let me also, I know there's a couple of other questions, but let me also just note that I think on recommendation one, purpose two, the board in its scorecard and its rationale for making the decision that it did acknowledged that the EPDP team recommendations from phase one were sort of placeholder language, and that there was an expectation that further work would need to be done in phase two by the EPDP team on the question, and that there was also sort of subsequent or intervening communication from the commission, European Commission, on the topic, and that the rationale for sort of referring that back to the council and to the EPDP was for those reasons. So I hope that was clear and that's well understood in terms of the board's rationale. But again, if there are questions that the EPDP team would like us to ask in the consultation process, we're certainly open to that and would welcome that. Yanis, back to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Keith. Amber is next, followed by Mark. Amber, please.
Thanks, Yanis, and Keith, thank you very much for being on this call with us today. This is Amber. My understanding is that, just to clarify up front, my questions at this point right now are purely process, not on substance, really. So my current understanding is that, whatever the EPDP team does in response to the two parts of the recommendations that the board did not adopt, we will only act based on instructions from the GNSO Council. So if I'm wrong on this, I'd appreciate clarification. So I do appreciate, Keith, you coming to the EPDP team and including us upfront in the discussions and continuing this with us and giving us time to come up with some substantive questions, should we have any. But my question from a process perspective, and I hope you could also maybe look into this with the rest of the GNSO Council and possibly during your discussions with the board, is what happens if, you know, and specifically concerning recommendation 12, what happens if the EPDP team, you know, following the consultation process and then the council giving us a task to act upon, what happens if the EPDP team comes up with the same conclusion we came up with in phase one and perhaps provide additional justification to that? Or what happens if the EPDP team comes up with another recommendation or a slightly amended recommendation that again the ICANN board does not choose to adopt? I think it would be helpful for us to understand these things before we proceed to revise those recommendations should that decision be made. So if you could include that in your discussions with the council and the board, I'd personally appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Amr. So I heard a two-part question there. The first was, is the council, yeah, so to answer your question, the action right now, I believe, is with the council. In other words, the board has responded to the council, the recommendations that were forwarded by council, and what has come back to us from the board is now with the council. And I expect that we would then formally refer things, the components back to the EPDP team. So I expect that procedurally, that's the way it will happen. And of course, we're just at the beginning phase of this engagement right now in terms of, you know, council wanting to seek input from the EPDP on substance and then, you know, figuring out how exactly we'll engage with the board. But at some point, I expect that the council will take an affirmative or formal action to refer any further work or consideration to the EPDP team. So I hope that's clear. The second question is what happens, as I understood it, what happens if the EPDP team sort of reaffirms or reconfirms the recommendation or wants to, you know, slightly amend, but basically to go back and push back on the board's decision and try to, you know, sort of have the issue revisited. And my understanding, and again, I will confirm this and get back to you, but my understanding is that the council could certainly re-forward the existing or the former recommendation or an amended recommendation to the board for further consideration. So this is not a tick the box exercise. I think if this is, you know, if there are really substantive concerns or issues that need to be, you know, highlighted or in, you know, revisited during this consultation process, then the council stands ready to take that on and to engage with the board accordingly. Let me pause there, Yanis, and see if there's any follow-up or any further questions on that.
Yeah, thank you very much. There is one from Mark. Mark Anderson, please, go ahead.
Thanks, Yanis. Keith, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay, excellent. So first, you know, thank you, Keith, for joining a call and providing that. I guess first I'd like to advocate to the EPDP for us to take Keith and the GNSO Council up on this. I know it's a little bit of a distraction from our phase two work, but I think this is important. And so I think it's worth us taking the time to do this. And from my perspective, I see our task is really providing background information or arming the GNSO Council with as much, you know, background information or pertinent questions or knowledge to help inform their consultation with the ICANN board. And I think that's something we can do. You know, many of us, and, you know, I know we have some new people, but many of us were there or carryover from phase one. And so I think we can, you know, we can provide background, we can provide a little more information to the GNSO Council on why we did what we did, why the recommendations were what they were. I think there were a lot of discussions in Toronto specifically around recommendation 12, and not all the background, not all the details of that, why we did what we did, are in the report. And so we have an opportunity to provide, you know, more information, more background to the GNSO Council. That can only help their consultations with the ICANN board. And so I think we should do that, and that it's it's worth us taking a little time out of our phase two work to provide that information.
So thank you, Mark. Keith, I do not have any further requests for the floor. Do you want to say anything else for the moment?
Thank you, Giannis. I'll wrap up. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come and speak with the EPDP team. Obviously, if there are any further questions or comments, then Rafiq is available as the GNSO Council liaison and vice chair. So feel free to touch base with Rafiq if there's any follow-up. But let me just note sort of in closing that the GNSO Council is approaching this in a deliberate manner, in a cautious manner, and in recognition that we are effectively setting precedent in how we engage with the board on this. This is certainly provided for in the ICANN bylaws. The process was anticipated or envisioned. But we're gonna take this seriously, and we're going to engage in understanding that there's precedent being set here, and that's one of the reasons we want to ensure that we're engaging with you, the policy development group within this process, and that then we as the council, as the policy process managers, can be most effective in our engagement, our careful and cautious engagement with the board. So thank you very much, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. So then, in concluding, I understand that we are invited to submit comments, expression of concerns, or questions to the Council, GNSO Council, or for GNSO Council consideration by next Friday, and we will attempt to do so with understanding that that may be preliminary, that there may be a need for fine-tuning that input after deadline of next Friday, but we will do our best. And thank you, Keith, for reaching us out and looking forward cooperating further on this topic.
Thank you, Jana.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So let us then move to... Now, before moving to next agenda item, I then would like to ask team members to seek or to provide comments, expression of concerns and questions, if possible, by end of business next Tuesday, that we can compile and present in compiled version or Wednesday prior our call, and then we would take up that list and discuss it during our next meeting. I hope that will be acceptable. So I see no objections. Let us then move to next agenda item, and that is... And that is the call for input from other SOs and ACs. It is a requirement that at one point in PDP process, we reach out, or those who write the policy reach out other ACs, SOs, with the questions, call for input. We agreed that should be done earlier than later, and in that respect, we put forward a proposal last week, how that call for input could look like and what questions we should ask to other SOs and ACs. There was one comment that came in from Mark Anderson, which suggests to replace proposed questions to ones which are in the in the charter of phase two. And so I would like to see whether members would be in agreement with Mark. And I see Mark maybe wants to explain the reasons of this proposal. Mark, please go ahead.
Thanks, Janice. Mark Anderson. Sure, I'll jump in and just say, you know, when the registry representatives met to review this, we recognize that the intent of this this template is to sort of focus the feedback that we get from the SOAC SGCs in their input. Right, we don't want to leave the input too wide open, or we'll get everything and anything under the sun, and so I think that makes sense. But the bullet points that were provided in this draft, we didn't think were really great questions to send out to the SOs and ACs. And so we were debating different questions that we, or alternatives that we could propose, we ended up coming back to the charter questions, and felt that really the three main charter questions provided a pretty good template. Our suggestion was just pretty simple. Swap out the questions that were in this first draft with the three main charter questions. I think the template itself is well well worded and written, and I like that in the annex that it contains all the information from the charter, as well as the phase one report and other items that that SOs, ACs, SGs, and Cs may want to comment on, but still sort of guides you back to the three main charter questions that we're tackling in phase two. So we thought this was pretty a pretty straightforward suggestion for how to focus the type of feedback that we're looking for to help inform our deliberations on phase two. So hopefully that helps tee it up and give a little background on why we made the suggestion we did.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for reasoning. Alex Deacon.
Giannis, it's Alex. Hopefully everyone can hear me.
Yes, we hear you.
Thank you. Yeah, so we spent some time discussing this, and I think in the end decided that it wasn't worth too much debate and effort. I agree with Mark that sticking with the charter questions is probably the safest way to proceed. I started to redline the questions there, and again decided that perhaps it wasn't the best use of time and would just further confuse things. So I think Mark's suggestion is a good one. And then finally, at the end of the day, the SOs and ACs and other groups can and no doubt will respond as they feel fit, as they feel fit anyway. So I think just sticking with the charter questions and the framework that that's kind of outlined in this doc is the best path forward. Thanks.
So thank you, Alex, for your opinion. I see no further requests for the floor. So there was no one objected to Mark's proposal. So I see Parzane.
Thank you, Farzana speaking. So I just, I got a little bit confused by what Alex said. Are these highlighted by Marika? Are they the charter questions? I'm not sure, but for the bullet point one, the first bullet point, I think that instead of asking should such a system be adopted, well, as well as asking should such a system be adopted, we should also ask why the SO and ACs think that it should be adopted or it should not be adopted. The questions just jump to the criteria. And I also see that as the beginning, the starting point says, as the GNSO Council and the EPDP team have identified as priority the issues related to blah blah blah. I'm confused by this sentence. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it means that we have identified as a priority the issue related to, because I don't remember identifying like cohesively and consensus based. We agreed to prioritize this issue. Thanks.
Yeah, Farzana, the what you see on the screen in yellow, these are questions that were in the draft proposed by staff and me. And on the right-hand side of the screen, you see three questions which are from the charter. And the proposal is to what Mark put forward is to replace those that are in yellow with those that you see under on the right hand side of the screen with the ABC, and they come straight from the charter. And send out those questions to other SOs, ACs, asking for their input within a 21 day period.
Okay, so we are going to replace all these questions with Mark's suggestion. I still think that I don't see all the questions, but I still think that we need to, if we are asking about disclosure and what they think that about standardized access, we need to ask for a specific rationale for having such system in place. But I haven't read fully the questions that Mark has suggested for replacement.
No, they are on the screen now. They are now on the screen, and they come straight from the charter. We probably do not question charter questions. They are,
we are just
these are the ones. These are the ones. This is a very safe proposal because these are the ones we're working on, and we're asking others to see whether they wanna input to those questions that we're working on.
Okay. Yeah. Well. It is what it is. I'm sorry, I was not following up, and I have some concerns about that. But if the group agrees on it, then I'm not going to object. Thanks.
Thank you. So then, conclusion is we would replace the text what you see on the screen in yellow, which was originally proposed to with the text with the three questions coming from charter that also you see on the screen. And we would send out that letter to other ACs, SOs tomorrow, which then would bring answers to those questions for those ACs, SOs who want to answer on 21st of June, prior meeting in Marrakesh, and we will be able to review those inputs during the face-to-face meeting in Marrakesh. So I understand that is the our common understanding of this outcome of this conversation. Thank you. Let us move to next agenda item, and that is a legal memo clarifying questions. During the last call, we reviewed the first questions that have been presented. In the meantime, we have received questions from the GAC, and that triggered some traffic on the mailing list. And I would like now to invite Caitlin to kickstart this conversation. Caitlin, please.
Thank you, Yanis. This is Caitlin Tubergen for the transcript. And I also wanted to quickly note that I had inadvertently omitted the clarifying legal questions from the IPC. So I've also went ahead and added those and the GACS questions to the updated table. So following the submission of the questions and some of the feedback we received, the leadership team was looking to come up with a plan of how we would review all of these questions. And so as you might remember, we had taken the questions and aligned them with the various memo topics. And what we did after receiving those questions is to look to see if those issues related to issues discussed that were to be discussed in phase two, or issues that were identified on the mind map. So for example, specific charter questions for phase two, questions mentioned in the annex, or any issues deferred from phase one. And the leadership team had made a preliminary suggestion for all of the categories that if the questions are not related to the EPDP team's phase two work, it would not be reviewed further or forwarded to Bird and Bird at this time. And if the question does indeed relate to phase two work, that the leadership team would align the question with the relevant phase two issue. So for example, accuracy or the standardized system for access or disclosure, and determine if the phase two issue is a priority one or a priority two item. So from there, we would note that priority one items related to a system for standardized access, and those would be reviewed first. And the priority two items, we would move all of the received questions to the corresponding worksheet for further discussion following the EPDP team's agreement on both the scope and the expected deliverable for the topic. And then once there was agreement on the scope and deliverable, these items would be considered as a matter of urgency and be reviewed by a group before they were sent to legal counsel. And then Yanis had a proposal for which group would be reviewing these questions, since the idea of having the entire EPDP team review legal questions might not be the most efficient way forward. We're specifically looking for a group to review if the questions are truly legal in nature, as opposed to possibly a policy or policy implementation question, that the questions are phrased in a neutral manner, avoiding any sort of presumed outcomes or a constituency's position, that the questions are both relevant and timely to the EPDP team's work in phase two, and ensuring that the limited budget for external legal counsel is being used responsibly. So now I'm going to turn the floor over to Yanis to describe his idea for the legal advisory group we'd like to use.
Yeah, thank you, Caitlin. These legal questions that we need to review, as we discussed earlier, they need to be fine-tuned and put in the right word. As one team member said, if you ask wrong questions, you get wrong answers. So as a result, we really need to focus on those questions, and in such a big group, when you have everything else on mind, maybe that is not the most rational way. So therefore, I thought, unlike in the first phase, we had a legal committee, I would like to propose to the team to constitute a legal advisory group to the chair, would be constituted based on chair's invitation. This would be small group with legal professionals in it from the team members, of course, and they would review those legal questions and would propose to the whole team the final formulations as we progress in our work. So this advisory group would meet on the need basis once we're ready, and the questions would need to be reviewed, and they would meet with open door. In other words, everyone who would like to listen that conversation would be welcome to do so. And whatever comes out from this advisory group would be put for formal endorsement by the team as a whole. So that is my idea. And initially those legal questions would be put on the worksheets for priority two questions. And later we will be talking about review those priority two worksheets. And after that review, then group may look at specifically those legal questions, the formulation of those legal questions. So that's the proposal. And I see a few hands up. Stephanie is first, followed by Amber. Stephanie, please.
Thanks. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I hope you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Wonderful. I would actually like to volunteer for that team and object to its being limited to legal professionals, by which I presume you mean lawyers. And the grounds for that are that, in actual fact, when drafting policy, it's usually policy directors that ask the legal questions of the lawyers. And quite frankly, as one of the people with the longest and deepest privacy experience, that would be 35 years of asking questions of lawyers to clarify policy issues, I think I'm richly capable of sitting on that committee. So I'd just like to ask for the rationale for restricting it to lawyers, some of whom have zero experience in data protection matters. Thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Your request is duly noted. Amr is next.
Thanks, Yanis. This is Amr. I agree with Stephanie for sure and would like to follow up on her request by also requesting that, you know, part of the job of the legal committee, I hope, will be to weed out what some of the questions being posed, whether some of the questions being posed should be actually forwarded to Bird and Bird, because it seems to me that quite a number of these questions are policy questions, not legal questions. So if the legal committee could really work on that and try to figure out what questions here relate to what is legally applicable and what questions should be determined by policy discussions. And this is where I think, you know, someone with policy expertise like Stephanie could be helpful. I hope the legal committee does do this, and I'm sure we're going to get around to that when the questions are being shared with the EBP team at large, but I would hope that the legal committee does take a first stab at that. Thank you.
So thank you, Amr. This is exactly what's the meaning behind the proposal, that this legal advisory group look at those questions, define whether they're legal or not, whether policy questions, and then bring the result of their consideration for the formal endorsement by the team as a whole. And as I mentioned, the meetings of the legal advisory group would be open for everyone who would like to listen their conversation. Mark is next. Mark, please.
Thanks, Janice. Mark Anderson. Agreeing with what others have said, but I just want to say, like, on the whole, I think I liked what Caitlin said when she explained it, and Janice, your explanation made sense. At least, as I understood it on the call here, I think that makes sense for a path forward. But I guess my request is to put this down on writing. It would be useful to have this documented to make sure everybody is 100% on the same page and understands what we're doing and how we're handling these questions. But at least, based on the verbal explanation given, I think it made sense here on the call to me. Thank you.
So thank you. Do I have anyone else? Amr, your hand is still up. Are you in line?
Sorry, old hand.
Yeah, okay. No, I see. So no further requests for the floor. So let me then conclude by the following. I will put my proposal in writing together with the names of my friends. And I will send it out to mailing list by end of tomorrow. If no one will object that proposal, and I would use the silence procedure by next call, I would take that this would be acceptable as a proposed method. If someone will object, then we will revisit that at the next call. That would be conclusion of this part of our conversation. Thank you very much. We can move now to the next item, which is already very much linked with our substantive activities, and that is it is working definitions on the purpose of EPDP. So there was an initial draft proposed for last meeting. There were a number of comments and proposals made by members of the team in the meantime. Staff and myself, we tried to take into account every opinion that have been expressed or has been expressed during this comment period and an input period, and also tried to reconcile sometimes divergent views on the same topic. So, and the result is in front of you. I would like to see whether we can live with it. And I also would like to remind once again that this is not, these are not illegal definitions. These are just a common understandings for the purpose of our exercise. That we, when we use a term, all of us, for the purpose of this exercise, understand the same thing, not something different. So, this list will live as long as EPDP phase two exists. After that, that will cease its existence. So this is just a cheat sheet, if you wish, and reminder that should keep us on the same page in our understanding of terms we will be using. So I would like now to open the floor for general comments, and after that we will see where we can get with that. I have three requests for the moment: Christina, Sarah, and Amr, in that order. Christina, please, you are the first.
Great, thank you. Can you all hear me?
Yes, very well.
Excellent, thank you. I would like to raise something along the lines of a point of order, in the sense that according to my email, I received this definitions document at 3:02 a.m. Pacific time. We're being asked to confirm it less than 5 hours later, and for those EPDP members on the West Coast, many of us were sleeping for a good part of that time, or actually on this call. I'm concerned about the precedent that we are setting if we are going to be accepting and agreeing to documents and making, frankly, any kind of decisions on anything less than a reasonable turnaround time, which in my view, I think would be, 8 hours business day time. I haven't even had a chance to look at these definitions. They could be perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned. But the bigger point is that I would hate for us farther on down the road to have our work vulnerable to challenge on the grounds that we didn't give sufficient time to members to review it think about it and consult with their respective groups. Thanks.
Not taken. Agree. It is not a good the good precedent. And so let's see what other members are thinking. Sarah, please.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Thank you. This is Sarah. I will start by supporting what Christina said. This is really not sufficient turnaround time. And thank you, Yanis, for agreeing with that one. I am just having a hard time with the second bullet point, request of third parties for access, and the sentence that follows it. This does not seem to be a definition of a term, and it overlaps with the disclosure definition enough that I don't think we need them both. So I think we should remove that second bullet point, request of third parties for access. As well, the sentence following, I think there's no purpose for that. Disclosure is when the data is given to a third party. Access is when the data is accessed by their by the data subject, whose data it is. The data subject would not request disclosure. It's just not, I feel like that doesn't quite make sense. So my suggestion is to remove that second bullet point and the sentence following. Thank you.
Thank you. Amr, your hand is up.
Thanks, Yanis. This is Amr. Actually, Sarah just beat me to what I wanted to say. Although before objecting to the second bullet and asking for it to be removed, I would have I would appreciate some maybe background on why it was felt, you know, it was necessary to include it. I do find it a little confusing and don't see any practical purpose for it. And like Sarah said, I think, you know, by defining the right of access and disclosure in the third bullets, I think we do cover what we need to cover. And I'm not, and you know, apart from the second bullet being a little confusing to me, I'm not sure what purpose it actually serves. So, well, I guess I'll just plus one Sarah there. Thanks.
So thank you. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much. I guess I have a number of comments that both support and differ with some of the previous ones. I agree with Christina that we can't use this opportunity to approve this. On the other hand, even though there was only a few hours notice, I appreciate it being distributed to give us time to talk about it at this meeting as a prelude to, you know, perhaps the next meeting approving it or some successor of it. So that I appreciate. I guess I like the second bullet, but moreover, you in introducing this said you and staff were trying to find a way to cross the divide between the rather stringent strident positions that were taken before, and I think this is a reasonable way to cross that to not eliminate the word access in terms of third parties, but to make sure it's carefully defined so that there is a differentiation between that and the data subject's right. So I support what you have here, but agree that this is not the meeting at which we should look for closure. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Hadia, please.
Hadia Minyari for the record. So I do agree with Christina that maybe giving more time for people would have been better. I do agree with Alan as well that it's good that's been distributed so that we get the chance to talk about it. I just want to remind us all that, as you mentioned earlier, those are just working definitions. And going through the documents, you know, I do agree with some and maybe don't agree totally with others. But generally speaking, I think the whole document works. And I personally don't think that we need to be debating a lot or wasting a lot of time on this. Those are just the working definitions that we as a group are going to be using, and I don't see them impacting any of the outcomes or of the work that we are actually going to go forward with. So I do support it. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Hadia. Margie is next, followed by Alex and Christina. If you would, are you in line? Margie, please.
Thank you. Yeah, pretty much Alan and Hadia said the same thing I was going to say. We do support the definitions here, and we've already given them reasons for it in previous calls and think that this is a good compromise. So thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Alex?
Thanks. Yeah, so we spent time reviewing an earlier version of this doc yesterday, those of us on the West Coast, and came prepared to discuss that. So now that it's changed, I'm not quite ready to comment on the updated text. So I think we need a little bit more time to do a good job at that. I do want to just express a, kind of a meta concern that I have is that we're now kind of 4 weeks into our work. This is the fourth meeting, and we've yet to start any substantive discussion, debate on important phase two comments, specifically the charter questions. And this is a concern. I understand that we need to do some kind of foundational work here, but it seems like the more we, we walk down the path, the farther away the goal of actually starting important discussions and debates comes becomes. So I just wanted to implore us to quickly move on to finishing our homework, to quote Thomas, and get to work on answering these important questions in the charter. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. You will have a chance in a few minutes. Under the next agenda item, but I fully agree with you. So I think we're very close to starting into real substantive discussion. Chris, one from the GAC, please.
Chris Chris Evans here. Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted to agree with Christina and Alex and Margie, really. As Alex has just said, we reviewed a separate document and having just had a look over this morning, these are terms that we could probably live with, but obviously we've not had time to discuss that fully. And I think the important point that Margie said is, you know, this is working definitions. It's not something we're bound by. If we get down the line on policy and, the decision is you can't do access, which I obviously hope we don't get to, but that is the decision, then that's the decision, and that definition goes away. So I just think, like to keep these reminded as a working definition and try and get on with some of the substance. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So I do not have further. No, I do have one. Alan, please. Alan Woods.
Thank you, Annette. I suppose just a quick question. I just want to echo something that Sarah Wall said about, how it is utterly confusing the way the second and third bullet points, the second bullet point and what comes after that. I just don't understand that. And again, having not really had the time to substantively look at this, I mean, I would pose one question for the consideration going forward. And I still don't fully understand why certain people are so absolutely attached to the word access. And I wish I could understand that more, because we're coming at it from a very specific point of view, and that is there is a huge difference between disclosure and access, legally speaking. And I think it might help if we understand that as to why this constant need to go back to the word access. And I think that might help, and it could be leading into those substantive discussions. I understand what Alex is saying, but these are important beginnings of our substantive discussions as well, because it sets the tone. So I would caution on that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Alan. This is a result of, or this is an attempt of bridge the gap in different positions. So I understand from the staff that the issue of access versus disclosure has been also widely debated during the first phase. From my side, though I'm not a native English speaker, access has different meanings. It can be used as a noun, it can be used as a verb, and maybe confusion is there. in the email traffic, I think Milton put really finger on the spot when he quoted GDPR, which was referred to right of access, and I think that this is fundamentally important. But others use access simply as a verb, as a part of the process. And so this is what the second bullet point is, just to say that access has different meanings. And one of the meanings might be a process, how to get to the full set or subset of non-public data through disclosure. So, but I hear that maybe some more time needs to be devoted to reflection. I'm not pushing forward. This document is important for us, just to keep us on the same page when we're using terms. It is not critical for our activities, and I do not really want to spend too much time on this. I can easily turn it in the chair's working definitions and keep referring them as a chair. So if that may help those who do not want to agree can live with these working definitions as a reference in our conversation. But so let us park that until next week. Please, if you want to comment, do so by Tuesday and end of the day, that we could compile and see whether there is any further refinement possible. And the revised document will be published next Wednesday. So this is my proposal. Alan, are you still in line? Or if not, then Mark. Mark, please.
Hi, Mark Swanzerich. I think a lot of people have said that we should move on from this, and I agree. So thank you for taking this to another meeting. I did want to mention, in a previous meeting, I mentioned that we need to have a definition of authorization added. And so I say that again, in our working definitions, there should be a term authorization. Good. Okay. Sorry. I didn't see that. Great. Refers to the director. Okay. Thank you very much.
So we're very attentive to opinion and suggestions of members of the team, Mark. So if no one requests the floor on this topic, let us move to next one. And I conclude by suggesting, please review document. And if you have anything to comment, please do it by Tuesday, end of business in California, that we could review it and publish the revised document on Wednesday, aiming at adoption potentially, sorry, not adoption, endorsement during the next meeting. So thank you. Next agenda item, priority one worksheet. So that is probably the first really substantive element of our conversation, meaning the element of on substance of our conversation. And I will ask Marika to kickstart the discussion. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks very much, Janis. This is Marika. So the worksheet you see on the screen is the one we shared with all of you earlier this week. It follows to large extent the same approach as the other worksheets we've put out for the priority two items. We know there's a lot of information to digest in this worksheet, and as such, we've asked everyone to focus your input really on, have we covered the right topics, the orders being proposed, and the objectives as priority items at this stage. I think it may be helpful to just quickly run through it so you can see what is in here and also hopefully help you then to focus on those elements that require input. I think to date we've all only received feedback from the registrar stakeholder group for which our thanks, because again, the input that you will provide will help make this document better and make sure that we're that everyone's on the same page when it comes to how different topics are to be tackled, as well as what the objectives of our work is. So what we've done at the start here is list all the charter questions and issues that have been brought up in the context of this topic. So it includes the questions that were specifically included in the EPDP team charter. There were a number of topics that related to this item from the annex of the temporary specification, which also was part of the charter, of course. Then there was a recommendation that specifically related to this item from the phase one final report. And what staff also did in the TSG report, there were a number of policy questions identified. Again, it's not specific. The group is not specifically tasked to answer those, but we thought it might be helpful as well to link them here to the different topics, as again, it may help frame the conversation and think through some of the questions that will need to be answered in the context of this work. And I think at least so what we then did as well, when going through the document, we've made sure that all these questions are currently placed in the different topics that were identified, so that we make sure as well that as we go through our work, that we of course deliver on the requirements for the team to respond to the charter questions and any items coming from phase one. And so again, we've included as well some general required reading here. There's quite a lot of information here, but again, we think it's important that everyone comes to the table with the same background and same understanding of work that has been taken in relation to this area over the last couple of months and maybe even years. So if there's anything that is missing here, do let us know. Again, the idea is to have a full set of documents, and of course, nothing prevents anyone from already starting reading up on those. And again, we're really hoping as well that some of the work that has been done in other areas will serve as a basis for the group's discussions, so that there's no need to start at zero, but benefit from the thinking and work that has gone into this in the context of other efforts. So again, as I said, quite a lengthy list, but please feel free as well to add to this if we've missed anything. And we also started identifying possible briefings. Again, the group will need to determine whether those are necessary or at what time they would be relevant. And we also noted some dependencies. And again, this is work that came out of our original brainstorming effort and input that was requested on that. So we've noted it here as well. But again, this is also, of course, open to review. So something we already shared with you in the last couple of meetings is the list of, we've called it so far a non-exhaustive list of topics, but I think so far no one has suggested any additional ones, although I think that the registrar stakeholder group has suggested expanding on some of them to make sure that it captures adequately the different topics that are part of those items. So what we did as well, following that list of items, we kind of started thinking through what would be a logical approach for tackling these. Obviously, there are dependencies or linkage between these different topics, but there may be a logical order in which the group could start, noting that at times it may be necessary to go back and forth between topics, or decide to close off on one topic and move into a next before you're able to complete on the previous item. So again, so this is what staff has come up with, and again, this is completely open to your input and feedback. You know, does this make sense? Is there a good reason to not do it in this order, but tackle topics in a different way? And if such, you know, please share that and provide your rationale for changing the order. And then we had as well as an overall topic, and I think that also aligns with, you know, our previous conversations, you know, the question of legal questions is one that probably will come up throughout. You know, definitions, of course, may also evolve as the group works through these items. And then as well, this question of financial sustainability, I think that has been flagged, is probably also one that will need to be considered throughout the group's consideration of these topics. So then maybe giving you a snapshot of what we've done for each of the substantive items. I'll skip over the terminology and legal questions one. But then looking at, you know, the topics or the category of topics that we've identified. So for each of those, and the one you see here on your screen relates to defining user groups, criteria and purposes, lawful basis per user group. We've tried to identify what, again, from a staff perspective, we think the objective is of looking at, you know, these topics. And it's really important that everyone is on board with, you know, the objectives we've have identified, that we miss anything here, is anything that has been misstated. So again, I would really like to encourage you to review this closely. We've also started identifying the materials to be reviewed. As noted, you know, on many of these topics, extensive work has already been done in the context of other activities. So we've tried to do our best to, you know, flag at least all the documents that we are aware of. And again, it's critically important that, you know, you review this and then make sure if we've missed anything that will be of help to the group, that is identified here. But again, this might be more of a priority when we, you know, start our detailed deliberations on these topics, because again, at least from a staff perspective, our hope is that we can use these materials as a basis for either, you know, putting something on the table or starting the deliberations. As I said, you know, a lot of work has already been done, either in the context of phase one work or other initiatives that have focused on this topic. What we then did as well to, again, make sure that the conversations are aligned with, you know, the requirements per the charter is to link each of the topics with the related, and we've referred to it here, the mind map questions, because we use the mind map to pull out all the different aspects here, although it also includes some of the relevant TSG questions that we took from their document. And again, if you believe here something is misaligned or something missing, you know, please flag that. I don't think this is necessarily a priority item, but again, at the end of the day, we do want to make sure that, you know, we've covered the whole scale of items. And as you'll see as well, there is obviously some duplication of that, because, you know, certain charter questions might be answered through addressing multiple topics. Then what we did as well, we tried to flag as best as we could as well related EPDP phase one implementation considerations. And this especially relates to, I think it's recommendation 18, where, you know, some work or some agreement was already reached in phase one in relation to the submission of requests for disclosure and the requirements related to that. So it may be helpful for the group to keep a close eye on that to see how that is addressed in the implementation phase to make sure that, you know, there's no duplication of work, and also that, of course, that there's consistency between what is being done in phase one and what the group will be addressing here. And then we try to identify, you know, following on from the objectives, what the specific tasks are in order, you know, to address this topic, in addition to a target date for completion. And again, this is all another important item for you to review at this stage, because what staff will do is basically take those tasks and move them then into a more detailed work plan, again, chart that really then maps out all the things that, you know, staff as well as the group will need to do in order to complete its deliberations on that topic. And that's basically what we've done for all of the topics here in this document. I don't think we'll have time now to go through each of those. But again, it's really critical that all of you review this document. And as I said, you know, foremost focus on we have all the topics listed here. Does the order make sense in which we've organized these? Have we covered all the objectives accurately? And have we also covered all the tasks? And then, of course, if you have any kind of insight into the time you think it will take to address a certain topic, you know, that will also be helpful. I know some of the comments have already indicated that, you know, there needs to be flexibility around that. And I think that is probably a given. But any kind of estimation that the group can provide will again be helpful in building out that detailed work plan and making sure that we can work against that in the course of the upcoming meetings. And yes, Sarah, I know the Registrar Stakeholder Group sent comments and thank you for that. I quickly glanced through them and I thought they were all you know, very helpful and constructive. So again, you know, we hope as well that as others review comments from others, that you also kind of comment if you have any concerns about those. Because if not, you know, at some point staff will of course start applying those updates. So that again, you know, we have a complete document. And I think as we've noted before, the worksheets are really intended to be a living document. Of course, what we may do at some point when we start into going into the details of it, and you know, we may kind of separate out parts so that the document doesn't become, you know, that lengthy. But again, for now, we're keeping everything together in one place so everyone can clearly see what's part of this and included in here, and also, of course, kind of go back and forth. So I hope that that was helpful. You know, if there are any questions, happy to hear them. And with that, I'll give it back to Yanis.
Yeah, thank you, Marika. I think this is a very fundamental document that we need to review, which serve also as a roadmap and basis for our conversation, and also will be used as a notebook where we will write our common understandings and draft recommendations. So basically, this is the beginning. The work on this document is the beginning of writing the preliminary report or initial report of the group. So questions that we have for this part of conversation is about whether all topics that are listed are relevant, whether some topics or issues are missing. So whether the proposed order of addressing those topics is right or something needs to be changed. So, and also I would like to ask you to focus also on the target dates that are just target dates, nothing is cast in stone. But simply to keep us more or less on our toes in terms of progression in our deliberations. So with these words, I open floor for any comments. And I see three requests, Alex, Alan, and Ashley in that order. Alex, please.
Thanks, Yanis. It's Alex for the record. Yeah, so I agree with Ashley that this is an awesome doc, and it should it will be very helpful as we move forward in our deliberations. The IPC has drafted a set of input based on the questions, and we will send that as soon as possible. But I do have one kind of specific question that I'm hoping Marika or someone can answer on page 7, kind of just below where you are here. On the Zoom room, it says, following the completion of this effort, each topic and its scope of work will form the basis of an overall scheduled work plan. So what does that mean? What effort is being referred to here? Is it the effort of agreeing to the template and then getting to work, or is there something more than that? I just want to make sure I understand kind of how things are going to play out, because again, my goal is to get quickly into to these points, you know, C through I or L. So I just want to clarify, make sure I understand what effort is being referred to in that paragraph. Thanks.
So thank you. Thank you, Alex. If you, Marika, if you would like to answer.
Yeah, thanks, Janis. This is Marika. And yeah, probably we should have referred here to the completion of the worksheet or be more specific about that. But that's at least the intention, kind of when we have, you know, the current state of the worksheet agreed and finalized, and then we can move into moving that into the scheduled work plan. So we'll clarify that language here, and apologies for the confusion.
Thank you, Marika. Alan, please.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Marika, and the team for pulling this together. The registries as well, we met actually and discussed this, and we're trying to contemplate our feedback, and then we put together something, and I'm just waiting for people to come back so we can get back to you. So apologies on the delay on that one. But I mean, there are a few kind of preliminary, I suppose, hazard to use the word confusions with this, and when we were looking at this. And I suppose the one thing is, I understand and I hope that what the worksheets will represent is you know, a way of us to be able to keep stock of what we've done and where we're going. But I do wonder what ultimately will be the use of the worksheet, and will it end up in something that is addended to a final report or to a preliminary, an interim report or whatever, and make sure, because again, that differs the amount of effort that we need to make sure for every minute detail that goes into this report. So we need to be clear on that. That was the one thing. With regards to the questions that you're asking specifically, I mean, we noodled hard over it, and we tried to figure out, you know, what potentially, you know, we could answer to the questions. So things like, you know, what topics are missing, what is the logical order, and what are the timelines? But I mean, for my own benefit, I find it very difficult to kind of, I suppose, put the cart before the horse in a lot of these things, because the discussion will create the new topics. There's nothing, you know, we are kind of doing a lot of preliminary, almost guesswork on this. And I do understand that we're coming from, you know, recommendations and we're taking our goals from that. But at the same time, it's very hard to answer that question at the beginning. So it was great to hear, Marika, you're saying that this is very much a living document. And I like that. But when we then start going on to things of, you know, the order of what we're going to talk about, I mean, when we're talking about order, one of the first things we need to probably go even before this, and I think looking at it now, there I see the reference to the legal questions. I personally think that getting clear, very specific phase two key legal questions out will then inform everything in this worksheet. So again, I feel us a little bit a step ahead of ourselves, because I think we need to establish a very clear legal basis first. And then finally, I suppose my biggest gripe in this, and I know that everybody is, and I shall use the word, and apologies if I put anybody's nose out of this, obsessed about the timelines on this, because we cannot just, you know, blindly suggest timelines because we think it's going to take X amount of time. And again, I understand it's a living document, but we're setting ridiculous expectations for ourselves if we're going to try and put in, you know, try and expend time and try to figure out timelines for something that we don't actually know. We don't have a work plan in place yet. We can't actually realistically put these timelines down. Yes, we will want to do this in a very good way. But I mean, I don't think the emphasis at this point should be on timelines. I think the emphasis at this point should be making sure that we have key basic tenets, that legal tenets to go from the legal questions that are being asked, which are clear, that's where we get our topics from. And then the order shall also be clear from that as well. So I still think that we're just, and this is probably why we've delayed in getting the feedback to you. I just think that we're one step ahead of where we need to be. And it's just not clear to me, and perhaps I'm being remedial on that, and apologies for that. But that, again, it was just very hard for us to come up with these comments at this point. We will get into you, and we will probably vocalize it a lot better than I'm saying in person, but I just wanted to flag that with you as well.
So thank you, Alan. I think all of us, we need to make a best effort in guessing and trying to motivate ourselves, but also with a clear understanding that we should not rush and miss important elements along the road. So you clearly hear in the team that there are two opinions. One is that we need to demonstrate substantive progress by November. Therefore, we need to put all efforts, because this is the only really priority for ICANN, this work in current time. And then we hear some who said, no, our experience in the first phase was so painful that we wanna drive the car with the first gear all the time. So, therefore this document is also a little bit setting expectations, and certainly nothing is carved in stone. And we will learn from the progress that we will make by addressing the topics, and most likely during the next meeting we will start the first topic on the groups, and then we will see how it goes and what we can learn from our own experience in addressing substantive topics in a logical order that hopefully all of us we will agree. But we're looking forward also to hear your comments in writing. Next on the list is Ashley. Ashley, please go ahead.
Hi all, this is Ashley with the GAC. So I know we're running low on time, so I'll try and be brief. But I just want to say I find this to be an immensely helpful guide. I don't see this as something that we are going to be held to, and I appreciate that it's been clarified multiple times now that this is a living document that will be amended as necessary. I think it does an amazing job of setting expectations, including my own. This is an incredible amount of work, and I think it's, for the most part, really comprehensive at a very early stage. So I think a lot of the concerns people have, I think this document will have to be amended along the way, and the amount of detail in here, I'm really quite surprised and amazed that, people were able to do, but, things will morph as we go along. In terms of the GAC specific comments, we're looking at the document now, and I have to say that since this is so extensive, we don't expect to have a whole lot of substantive comments since so much substance is already here. We kind of would like to see how this starts to play out. I think that's going to be probably, rather than spend an exorbitant amount of time and nitpicking this, we'd rather see it kind of play out and see how it goes. In terms of the references to the TSG policy items that were identified, we're not going to touch upon this, I don't think, but just to make clear that we kind of saw that section in the beginning referencing the TSG policy items that they identified as more of a just a quote, and we won't tinker with it, but just to note that there's a couple of items in there that we think are outside the scope of the EPDP, including identifying certification bodies and that sort of thing. One question I do have that I think is kind of fundamental to what we're talking about and how we proceed is that when we talk about the system for standardized access disclosure, we make this initial assumption that it's for third parties. And I'm not opposed to that necessarily, but I do have a question that builds upon something that somebody mentioned on our last call, which is, well, what does this mean for parties like ICANN or even contracted parties who also need to, request, I assume, or they have needs as well to request information that is redacted. And I'm curious, is this system intended to cover their needs as well, or is it something different? And if it is intended to include their needs, perhaps we need to just be careful in how we reference this, and perhaps it's not limited purely to third parties in the context of third parties to the contract between ICANN and the other parties. So I'll stop there, and we'll get you some input, but again, I wouldn't expect it to be a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley. I think the question is very relevant for the discussions of definitions of user groups, where ICANN also could be considered as a user group if that is consensual opinion of the group. So thank you. I see Alan. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate the last point that Ashley made, and that is access by ICANN. I mentioned that at an earlier meeting on the definition of SSAD, which it currently says third parties, and I suggested that we add ICANN into that. ICANN clearly is not a third party as one of the implied controllers, but it would be foolish to build a completely separate system for ICANN's access to the same data. And therefore, I believe our access system should provide for ICANN, assuming ICANN does not ultimately have a full repository of the data, and that's not currently in the plan. It will need access, and we should incorporate it into this. So I'll repeat that again. Unless we're planning to do something completely parallel, the definition of SSAD should include ICANN. And obviously, these documents make reference to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Stephanie is next.
Thanks very much. Stephanie Perrin, for the record. I agree with Alan Greenberg that ICANN needs to be included somehow, but ICANN needs to get off the fence and define its own role as controller, co-controller, whatever it thinks it is, and then come up with a policy that defines who in ICANN can access it and under what terms. So I think this is super important and perhaps should have been done a long time ago. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. So I do not have any further requests for the floor. What I would like to suggest in conclusion, please feel free to provide your inputs along the lines of inputs that has been already submitted. We will try to incorporate them in the document. I understand that preliminary there is no objection to the proposed sequence, which means that we could try to address issues of users group criteria purpose in the next meeting and start working on substantive issues. As Marika suggested, that for the specific or concrete discussion, parts of this worksheet will be taken out for ease of reference and work, and they will be provided with additional, of course, substantive elements prior every meeting. I think that this is really beginning of our substantive activities and should be considered as a roadmap. Thank you very much for your input, and we're looking forward to receive further input. Let us move then to the next agenda item, taking into account the time of the that we have spent on the call. And that is any other business. We have three elements there. The first element is the proposed call schedule for priority two worksheet reviews. If you recall, the Secretariat has produced the priority two worksheets, and we agreed that those members of the team who would like to look through those worksheets and advise Secretariat on improvements are welcome to do so during these specific calls, which are in addition to main call on Thursday. Also with understanding that after reviews, the worksheets would be presented to the whole team and then will be used for our further deliberations. Are there any reactions on proposed schedule? I see none. So then I invite those who are interested to join on Monday, 3rd June, for the first call, which will address two topics. Display of information of affiliated versus accredited privacy proxy providers and legal versus natural persons. Thank you. So then after the last call, I send out additional information about a proposed expert briefing by Steve Crocker on the framework he's working on. And I received support from some members and no objection for the meeting with Steve Crocker. And I suggest that we would invite Steve to talk to us for about 45 minutes, presentation and Q&A included, during the next call, as a first first substantive agenda item. And then we would continue with others. And the substance of the presentation, as I suggested, would stimulate our own thinking about our tasks. I see two hands up, Christina and Amr, in that order. Christina, please.
Thank you, Christina Rosette. And this is a general request with regard to presentations by experts. To be clear, it's not targeted specifically at Steve by any stretch. But I do believe that in the interest of transparency, it would be important for the EPDP to know before and in connection with any expert briefing whether the work that's being presented and discussed by that expert is being funded in whole or in part by any third party, and if so, the identification of that party. Thank you.
Thank you. Noted. To my knowledge, the work which is done by Crocker and Barbecue Group is purely volunteered and is not funded by anybody. That is just an intellectual exercise. Amr is next.
Thanks, Yanis. This is Amr. And actually, Stephanie asked my question in the chat. I'm personally not familiar at all with what this group is doing, and it would be helpful if we could get in advance some kind of even a very short briefing so we understand what it is we're going to be listening to when Steve presents to us. Thank you.
I thought that the general description of what the group is working on was in my email to the team after yesterday's call.
Yanis, my understanding is it's some sort of system that both GTLD registry operators as well as CCTLD registry operators would be able to take advantage of. But beyond that, I don't know, I might have missed something else. But apart from that, I'm not clear on what it is we're going to be discussing.
Yeah, that is the framework how to map who is information or match who is information and redaction or disclosure of it to the GDPR requirements. The essence of this work, and this is not in any way prejudging any policy questions or suggestions. It is simply engineer's view to how that system could work or could be used by different registries or other users. James.
Hi, Yanis. Thanks. James speaking. So just without sounding overly cynical or skeptical, I would also like to understand the nature of this work product. Look, there's a lot of folks, I think, in the community that have a lot of good ideas on, you know, just broadly how to make who is or registration data more compliant with GDPR and privacy laws, and what sort of architecture that looks like, and what sort of economic foundation we can put for that. And what's the process for those folks to come before this group and pitch their ideas? Is there one, or is this just kind of a privileged lane for Steve and for some of the folks from the TSG. I guess, you know, if I'm misunderstanding or mischaracterizing this, and please let me know. I mean, obviously anything that can further our work or can illuminate some of these questions and what's possible and what's not possible, I think we should pounce on that. But I also am mindful that we are under a very tight time frame, and if we open the door to everyone who has an idea, we could spend a lot of time analyzing those, and in fact, we could start to go in circles. So I just like to understand where we're going with this. Thank you.
Yes. It was suggested or asked by one of the team member group of members at the early stage, and I think it was a first or second meeting, whether we will do expert briefings the same way as they were done in the first phase. And I identified one, and I'm suggesting to listen to one. But equally, I said suggested to the team that if in opinion of any team member there are any other experts whose presentation would be beneficial for the team as a whole to stimulate our own thinking and conversation, please make suggestions, and we would consider them. So I asked staff to check whether Steve's presentation would be beneficial for our thinking, and staff confirmed that would be, because I'm new in the process. So therefore, I'm suggesting if a team thinks it is not needed, so I'm not insisting on that. So therefore, I'm in your hands. I think it is the presentation is stimulating for our own task. But if prevailing opinion in the team is that we do not want to do that, so be it. And in that, let me use the method of silent procedure. So I suggest that by tomorrow evening, California time, if there will be objection to the proposal to bring Steve's presentation to next meeting, I will not do that. If there won't be an objection, so then Steve will be invited to make his pitch, or rather presentation than pitch, during the next meeting. Thank you. And the third point under this item is the request for GNSO Council for support for the face-to-face meeting, which is proposed in mid-September in Los Angeles. So with the staff, we looked possibilities to organize a face-to-face meeting, which also has been a practice in the first phase. And we identified that the best time might be mid-September, which is in between two ICANN meetings. So we would have 3 working days, 9, 10, 11. We would start early in the morning on Monday, 9th of September, and we'd go for 3 days. So hence arrival date to Los Angeles would be 8th of September. But no meetings or substantive activities are planned for 8th of September. So would this these dates be acceptable? I see Amr. Please go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, Yanis. This is Amr. I would just ask that, you know, whatever needs to be done to support travelers to the face-to-face in Los Angeles in September, you know, this process gets kicked off immediately, so that those of us who require, you know, visas and the application process for visas to the U.S. is quite lengthy. So, you know, those of us who do require visas have the time to apply for one and secure one before the time of the meeting. So ideally, I would think that, you know, immediately following the meeting in Marrakesh, that, you know, support documents and so forth would be available so that the application could begin at that time straight away. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is the reason, exactly the reason why we're asking opinion now. In order to kickstart both process of preparation for the meeting, including travel support, but also a request for the funding, we have a promise from the CEO that there will be sufficient funding allocated for the process. Nevertheless, there is also the process how this funding need to be requested. So hence, we're asking whether 8 to 11 September would be acceptable dates for the meeting in order to kickstart the process immediately after the end of this call. So I see no objections. So may I take then that face-to-face meeting 8 to 11 September is acceptable to the team? So seems this is a good week. So thank you very much. We will proceed with that understanding of the meeting. So that brings us to the end of today's meeting. I would like to thank all for active participation. And if I may ask Caitlin to recap the confirmed action items.
Thank you, Yanis. This is Caitlin Tubergen for the transcript. I have captured the following action items. The first is the EPDP team members to provide input on clarifying questions, concerns, or background information for the GNSO Council's consultation with the board by next Tuesday, June 4th, close of business. EPDP support staff to update the SOAC SGC early input template with the registry stakeholder group's edits and send to the various groups tomorrow with the deadline of June 21st for response. Yanis to provide the proposal for dealing with legal questions, including the members of the legal advisory group by tomorrow, Friday, May 31st. EPDP team to comment on the working definitions draft by close of business, Tuesday, June 4th. And lastly, if any EPDP team members have objections to having Steve Crocker's presentation during the team's next meeting, please express them by close of business tomorrow, May 31st. Thank you, Yanis.
Thank you, Caitlin. So that brings us to the end of the meeting. Of course, these action items will be circulated in writing to the team. I see Amr still is asking for the floor. Amr?
Thanks, Yanis. Last question. I had also asked in the chat that the priority to, the worksheets, there's going to be those extra calls that are going to be held on those, and the staff had shared in the chat that, you know, if folks who can't make it to the priority to worksheet calls should provide input over email. I'd appreciate if we include that in the action items, just so that as a means of flagging this, just so it doesn't slip off the radar. That would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's noted. Any other comments in absence? So thank you very much. I think this was a very good call. So thanks a lot. And see you next time on 6 June at 2 p.m. UTC. This meeting stands adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.